And we're very privileged right now to have with us today at this time, David Heap, a member of the steering committee for the Canadian boat to Gaza. We're calling him here in Ontario. Let's see if we've got him. David, can you hear my voice?
I can hear you.
Excellent.
Good to be with you.
Oh, you're coming in very loud and clear. That's very good. Well, I guess we have a lot of news everyone's waiting to hear. The last time I spoke with someone on this program about the flotilla, it was Wendy Goldsmith about 2 weeks ago. We were looking at trying to get that Canadian boat to sail, to launch, and of course it had been detained at the port. Now, one of the things that caught our attention was that the French boat, the Dignité, it had already taken off, it had set sail, and we were wondering about its progress. Can you tell us what has happened with that boat since that time?
So the Dignité actually put into port close to us in Crete, in eastern Crete. We were in the port of Agios Nikolaos, and they were in the next port over, called Sitia. They had departed from France, from Corsica, and they'd stayed in close to Greek waters because they were hoping to join with the rest of the flotilla. But since they were many days at sea, they eventually ran out of fuel, and they had to put into port. Initially, it was reported that they were intercepted and prevented from leaving by Greek authorities, but their legal situation was a bit better than ours and the rest of the flotillas because they were a French flagship and they hadn't initiated their voyage from Greece. So they were eventually able to leave. They were held up for a while. They had a change of crew. They were eventually able to leave Crete, and they sailed to Rhodes to the east, and then from there to a small Greek island called Kastellariso, which is right at the end of Greek territorial waters next to Turkey. And because they had had a change of some of the people on board, some of the people from France went home, and they were joined by some members of the international flotilla who weren't able to sail with the other boats, because the other boats all were stuck in port. I mean, there was one boat in Turkey that was sabotaged. There was another boat in Greece that was sabotaged. The rest of us had endless red tape and requests for documents from the Greek authorities that made it clear that we were never going to get out of port, or we got out of port, but not very far out of port before we were stopped. So they were able to leave, and they left with representatives from the Swedish delegation, one of the Greeks, and one Canadian was on board the Dignité when they sailed.
Wow, okay, so it looks like the Dignité was more blessed in its starting conditions.
Yeah, they were lucky in a number of senses. I mean, the lesson for all of us is that we don't want to put all our ships in one state basket,
right.
And having most of the boats depart from Greece was, in retrospect, not the greatest idea. So they were lucky in that way. They got some... low-key, shall we say, consular support from the French authorities, who don't support the campaign, but on the other hand, I mean, the campaign to the Free Gaza campaign, the flotilla campaign, but on the other hand, they also give some support just because they're French citizens and a French boat, which is more support than Canada or any of the other states were giving any of us.
Yes.
And they were also lucky in that the way they were departing, they left from one Greek island to another Greek island to another Greek island, and then their official destination when they left Greek waters on Saturday was for Alexandria in Egypt. And they left to Turkish waters. And they also, the other thing that played in their favor was the last Greek island they left from, a small place called Kastellariso, which is right up against Turkish waters. The population in Kastellariso actually have a historic connection with Gaza. They were, during the Second World War, they were evacuated to what was then the British Protectorate of Palestine. And so, in fact, the current mayor of Kastellariso was born in Gaza. So they have, a historical connection with Gaza and the struggle of the Palestinians. So it was, I think there were a number of factors that favored their ability to leave. But you have to keep in mind, this is one boat of 10 that should have left, and one of the smallest ones. I mean, the Dignité, I was on it. I visited them in Sitia. It's a small motor yacht of less than 5 meters in length, I would say, with a capacity of only 15 people in all, 15 or 16 people.
Wow, okay. Well, it looks, in the case of the Dignité getting it sent, that the French government took the concept of French sovereignty seriously, or more so than other governments.
A little bit. I mean, I think officially they had the same line as everybody else, that they discouraged it, but when push came to shove, the French consular officials in Crete had a little bit of a margin to act in their favor. So, I mean, I think unfortunately, overall, the European powers still are acting as agents of Israel's blockade. but there was some shall we say, lower level support, as we saw from Greece as well. I mean, lots of people in Greece support the Palestinian cause, and even the Coast Guard, who stopped the Tahrir and turned us back, made it clear. Many of them apologized to us in private and said, we wish we could be with the Greek townspeople. Some of them are our families who are back there on the pier, you know, demonstrating in support of the boats to Gaza. So it's clear that there's a popular sentiment in favor of the Palestinians of Gaza. States, you know, the Greek state is caught in a particular bind because of their economic troubles. The French state doesn't get pushed around that easily, let's put it that way.
Yes, this is something that Wendy Goldsmith had also told us, and that we had also heard from Sandra Roosh. The officers who boarded the Canadian boat, the Tahrir, weeks ago, many of them were, in fact, apologetic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they're, you know, they're acting under orders, and they regret the nature of their orders, because this isn't the historic position of the people of Greece. Even the father of the current prime minister, the Papandreou the Elder, in the 80s, was one of the last European countries to recognize the State of Israel, and one of the first to give diplomatic recognition to the PLO, and had been a longtime friend of Palestinian liberation struggles. So, you know, it is a historic reversal for the Greek government, but it doesn't reflect the feeling of the Greek people at all.
Now, you were there, if I'm correct.
I was.
You're able to observe this. This is fantastic, fascinating, able to speak with someone so soon about what had been happening. There's a few things we're not entirely clear on. Maybe you can help us. I know we had been getting reporting from Wendy and from videos by
yep.
Sandra that there had been the boarding. The Greek authorities, after days of red tape, had then asked for the ship's papers, without which they could not have sailed. Now, at that point, we know that Sandra and others went ashore. There was also a demonstration, and Sandra either went and visited authorities or was detained or something, and so they had to hash it out with the Greek authorities. What exactly happened there?
So that was the first time we demonstrated was on the 1st of July, actually, Canada Day, and we had been trying to keep a low profile up until then, because we were trying not to identify where the boat was or anything like that. But on that day, we went public and we marched through the streets of it's a little town, a little port of Hios Nikolaos in Crete, to the port authority. After we had prevented them, at that point we prevented them from taking Sandra into custody, though she made it clear that if they took the ship's papers, they would have to take her as well. And she and I stayed at the Port Authority for many hours pressuring her to try to get permission, pressuring the harbor master to try to get permission to sail. But we weren't successful. They were still asking for more papers. So that was Friday the 1st. By Monday the 4th, it was clear that the Greek authorities were stalling us. So it wasn't possible legally for our Greek captain and crew to sail the ship out of a Greek harbor. They would have faced very serious consequences in terms of their profession and their livelihood afterwards in Greece, even though our captain is one of the most experienced captains in sailing to Gaza. He was with the three voyages of Free Gaza that were successful in reaching Gaza. So George Klontzis is the guy you want if you want to captain a boat to Gaza. But he's also very identified, so it's clear, you know, the Greek authorities know him and know his reputation and what he was likely to do. So what we did basically was we allowed their we terminated the contract with the captain and crew for the day, and we took it out of port under volunteer power with 35 delegates on board from, you know, a bunch of countries, the Australian, Belgian, Canadian, Danish, German, Turkish boat, plus our media, took it out of the harbor under volunteer crew, because we were lucky enough to have among the people there a number of individuals who had maritime experience and were able to handle the boat safely out of harbor. And because we were closely watched by a Coast Guard boat, what we did was we had a couple of people in kayaks who darted out and blocked the departure blocked the Coast Guard boat, which gave us time to get out of the port. So we made a break for it, about 8 nautical miles. It took 15 or 20 minutes in all before they boarded us and took control of the boat and then towed us back to harbor. But it was our way of affirming that we still don't respect or recognize the Greek government's authority to stop us from sailing, because
right.
It's very clear in international law that we have the right to sail. So we don't recognize the authority of this ministerial order.
People on the boats, they want to go. We raised more than $300,000 across Canada. In Hamilton, $15,000 or more.
Exactly.
We paid for this. Some of us bought 2 shares at $500. So we're not just going to sit there because of some red tape that says you can't go. So I see you made an effort to break out there. And the people, the kayaks, they were arrested, weren't they?
Yeah, they were arrested. And that was the day when Sandra was arrested. So at that point, because she had allowed an unauthorized sailing of the boat, she was still on shore as our representative there. And the two kayakists, or as we call them now, kayaktivists, were arrested. And they faced charges in Greek court that week. We did get lawyers who were very effective in defending them. So what they ended up getting were suspended sentences and small fines. So they don't have Sandra is still there. They don't have any ongoing legal repercussions. So we were happy with the legal result. We're just not happy with these orders of the Greek government. And our next step is, we waited. We thought we would be able to get through more rounds of red tape. We got more inspections and more certificates. But it became clear by the following weekend that we weren't going to get out of port legally. And again, our captain, we weren't willing to ask him to take those risks in terms of his professional career. So we left the boat. We're basically evaluating options about where we can move it so that we can sail again safely and legally from another port with other international partners. So it's not over. The Tahrir will sail. That is our commitment to, you know, all of the people like you that you mentioned that supported across the country, the civil society partners across Canada that have supported us, and our international partners that supported us. So we will sail. We're just evaluating, you know, the best timing and location for that.
Yes, I see. And we'll look at the activism on that in just a moment. But it reminds me, or brings me to, once again, the French boat, which it was on its way. Now, of course, the reports I got, and they've been coming in rapid fire, so just trying to sort this out, but apparently it had gotten within 40 or 50 miles of the shore. Yeah. At that point, the Israeli Navy was there, and they had if you look at the reports, something like missile ships and not marine boats and stuff, and so they kind of swarmed them like a bunch of sharks, I guess, and they were moving in. I think there was an Israeli expatriate on the boat who was playing Jewish cantorial motifs on a saxophone, and
that's right.
They eventually came, though, the soldiers. They boarded, pointed guns at everyone, told them that they're going to be taken to shore, gave them some bottled water. Now, last I heard, at least, people were being put on planes and sent back home.
Right. So the one Canadian that went was Stéphane Corriveau from Montreal. He joined them as, you know, one of the international delegates, and he was on. I was speaking to him, 3 o'clock yesterday morning when by sat phone, because we were checking in regularly. And so that was 10 a.m. Local time in the Middle East, 3 a.m. here, when he said the Israeli boats are closing in on us, and I'm not sure how long we will be able to continue communicating. And, of course, they jammed communications right after that. So from about 10 a.m. their time till for another 3 or 4 hours, they were followed and repeatedly hailed and told to turn back, and they just simply repeated what we all have said: our destination is the liberation of the Palestinians of Gaza. Our destination is Gaza. We're not going to change. We're not turning back. They were in international waters, and they were sailing towards Palestinian territorial waters. So they were never in Israeli waters, and their intentions were clearly never to go to Israeli waters. So they were in an area where the Israeli Navy has no authority at all to stop them. But they were boarded after, they used water cannons. I mean, you have to imagine, it was the big gunboats from the Israeli Navy, a little tiny motor yacht with 16 people on board.
Yes, I've seen the photos of that boat. It looks like something, you know, like Danny Glover had in the first Lethal Weapon movie, parked in his, you know, driveway. It's not the biggest vessel.
It's not a huge boat by any stretch. And they, as I say, they used water cannon against the captain and crew on the top deck, so they were clear that the overwhelming force was there. And apparently, according to Amir Ahas, the journalist from Haaretz, they had over 100 commandos ready on the different boats. So they were clearly overwhelming force, overwhelming numbers. 10 peaceful delegates, 3 journalists, and 3 crew members. I mean, not exactly an invasion force, given that we know in advance all of these people are committed to nonviolent opposition to the occupation. So there's no threat, no imaginable threat they could have possibly posed anybody.
In a sense, they were representing the flotilla. We knew that
the
initial boats are having difficulty sailing, and there are members from each country participating. And of course, Stéphane Corriveau was the Canadian representative, and they were embodying the values of the flotilla. Now, at this point, I think Israel said that the activists were deported from Israel.
Correct.
Which is interesting, of course, because they were on their way to Gaza, so they were hijacked then as people.
Yeah, no, it was an act of kidnapping. I mean, people have been talking about piracy, and in fact, it's worse than piracy, because piracy is what happens if a non-state actor, you know, if criminals take over your boat on the high seas. This is clearly a state actor, so this is an act of aggression in international law against a sovereign ship of another nation heading towards Palestinian waters. So an act of aggression against this French boat, I unfortunately don't think that at that level the French government is going to do much, though they should, as the flagging authority of that vessel. And the people involved were kidnapped on the high seas. So, and the nasty irony is that they get deported from Israel for illegally entering the country. Of course, they illegally entered the country as under force, after being abducted by force on the high seas.
No, yes, we've seen things like that in a few other instances. We mentioned France and to some degree protecting the sovereignty of its citizens. If there's one country that is expected to protect the sovereignty of its people, it's the American government, the U.S. government. And there is a U.S. boat to Gaza, the Audacity of Hope. And we've mentioned it on this program before, and all the interesting, exciting people that were on that ship. Now, last we checked, it had been detained in some kind of impound lot for their own safety beside the U.S. embassy. So is it still there?
Yes, the Audacity is still just in a port just outside Piraeus, next to Athens. They said for their safety, but in fact, they made a break for it as well. Their captain was trying to sail, and they were brought in by the Greek Coast Guard. It turns out that this naval yard is jointly run by the Greek Navy and the American authorities. But the conditions aren't very good. There are three American women there now, including a retired Colonel Ann Wright, good friend of mine, mm-hmm. and a longstanding friend of causes of peace and Palestinian justice for Palestine, among other things. So Anne is there with two others, trying to look after the boat, but they really need permission to get out of there. They're ready to sail anywhere. They've given up for the time being on sailing directly to Gaza, but they need to get the boat out. The conditions are very bad. It's an industrial port, so there's sort of noisy, dirty ships all around them theirs is like the Tahrir, a boat for 40 or 50 people. Which isn't designed to be put next to, you know, commercial freighters with noisy and sometimes dirty freight. So they need to get out of there. In fact, they repainted it. There's a lovely photo. I'll try and find it and send it to you. They repainted it and said, if we can't sail to Gaza, they renamed their boat the U.S. boat to Cuba. They said, we'll sail to another destination which the U.S. doesn't want us to sail to. They're willing to sail anywhere.
It's interesting you mention that, because I had heard a Pastors for Peace convoy had been detained on its way to Cuba by the United States. So there you go. Anne Wright, one of the most significant activists in the United States. It's a shame to see these three women treated in this way. And there was Amira Haas we mentioned as well. Fortunately, you can catch her article. She published it as soon as she got out, I guess. So check tahrir.ca for Amira Haas's article. Well, I guess we've got to get going. But there are actions. I'll mention the Hamilton details later on, but you probably are aware of the efforts in Canada. There's email campaigns and things, right?
Yep. There on tahrir.ca, we have an action update. I guess the update to the update is we're no longer calling for the safe liberation of Stéphane Corriveau, because with the others, he is being deported today. He will be back in Montreal tomorrow, and there will be an action at the Israeli consulate in Montreal, which Stéphane will be at tomorrow in Montreal, tomorrow afternoon. I don't have the exact date time, but we'll publish that on the site. We were at the Israeli consulate in Toronto yesterday, and at the embassy in Ottawa as well, there was an action. And yesterday morning in Vancouver, just south of Vancouver at Delta Port, there was a picket of a Zim Line, which is the big Israeli shipping line. There's a Zim Line ship in the Israeli port. So I think it's very important. Those of us who can go to an Israeli diplomatic mission, a consulate or an embassy, to make our voices known there. But remember that the tentacles of the power of the Zionist empire are beyond just the figures of the Israeli state. I mean, there are economic powers like Zim Lines. Zim Lines is in Vancouver and Halifax and Toronto and Montreal and many places around the world. There are Zim Lines containers on railways across North America as well that people can look for. So if anybody wanted to tag a Zim Line container, Free Gaza or something like that, you got to figure the message is eventually going to find its way on a ship to Haifa. And another very significant economic objective to look at is our Israeli, the State of Israel bonds. So, I mean, the action that you're planning there in Hamilton at the Israeli bonds office is also very significant, because we need to make it clear that if the Palestinians of Gaza aren't free to travel the world, then, you know, Israeli apartheid businesses shouldn't be free to carry on their business throughout the world either.
Well, you mentioned Israeli shipping lines. Certainly, it seems as if there's a double standard when it comes to political, ideological allies of the United States. So there we go. I guess you're probably the best source we could get at this period of time in terms of the best source anyone could get, having been on the Canadian vessel and having returned and being in tune with all the news coming across Canada. So we consider ourselves very fortunate that you're here with us.
I'm very glad to speak to you. But keep in mind, the Tahrir has always been a community effort. We were a steering committee of six people there, and we're spread across the country, so there's lots of us available. You mentioned Pastors for Peace. One of our steering committee members from BC was also with the previous buses with the Pastor for Peace movement through the states. So they're people who are hooked into our communities across the country, and we're not giving up. We will sail again. We'll be again in, you know, preparing a group of delegates to join with our international partners, and the Tahrir will sail again. So follow us at tahrir.ca.
Well, thanks for telling us this. Thanks for coming, and thanks to everyone on the boat, including yourself, and we'll keep our listeners up to date. So thanks very much, David.
Thanks for your support, Brendan.
Thank
you.
Good
to speak to you.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was David Heap, a member of the steering committee for the Canadian boat to Gaza. Just to mention, there's going to be a vigil on behalf of the French ship Dignité Al-Karam at 2:30 p.m. Friday, probably about an hour long. It'll be July 22nd, so coming right up in front of the Effort Trust building on 105 Main Street East. That's about letting the French ship sail, putting the crew back onto that ship. We would like to see the entire flotilla sail and not be stopped, even if the blockade has reached the shores of Greece itself, as the Canada Boat Gaza activists have stated.